Dear fellow redeemed, grace and peace be yours in abundance. The word of God that we'll focus on today is our second lesson from 1 Peter. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, Thanksgiving has come and gone again, and December is upon us. We all know what that means. It's time to get ready for Christmas. Christmas preparations, I'm sure, for millions of Americans and many of you are already underway. We saw in full swing again this year, Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Maybe some of you even spent time in those lines or online trying to find that special gift at the special price. I'll bet some of you have trees already put up in your homes. Maybe you've strung some lights outside, put a wreath on the door. I was here yesterday as they were putting all of this up. Preparation gets underway pretty quick for Christmas once December hits. But even after we've done all the outward things, we've strung every light, we've bought every present, we've wrapped them all, are we truly prepared for Christmas? Today marks, as Pastor Rosh mentioned at the start of our service, it marks the beginning of a new church year, which begins with the season of Advent. Now, Advent is a word that means coming, and during the season of Advent, we focus on how Christ came as a baby in Bethlehem at Christmas, how Christ comes to us now in his gospel, and how Christ will come again to judge this world. And Advent is really about preparation for all of those things. Are you truly prepared to appreciate, once again, the real meaning of Christmas? Are you prepared today to meet your Savior in His Word and in His sacrament? Are you going to be prepared when Jesus comes again as judge? Will you be ready to meet your Maker? Those are the kinds of questions we ask ourselves during this season of Advent, because we can do many things to prepare ourselves, I suppose, in the month of December. But the best thing we can do to prepare our hearts is to listen once again to the Word of God as He equips us to be ready to meet our Savior. And today in God's Word from 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to hear how God tells us that baptism prepares us for the coming of Christ. How baptism prepares us to meet Jesus at Christmas and in His Word and sacrament, and how baptism does prepare us as well to meet Him when He returns. Now, this letter that Peter wrote was written to a group of people that really, in many ways, were not very different from you and I. They lived in a society, a culture that didn't think a whole lot of Christianity, and because of that, they faced some opposition. And even though we live, I suppose sometimes we still like to think of America as a Christian nation, but really, real biblical Christianity is not accepted by all that many people. And if you're not sure about that, just try telling people some of the things you believe. You tell someone that you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven, and they'll look at you like you're naive. Or if you tell people that you believe all of the Bible is God's Word, even the parts that might condemn behavior that society accepts, they'll call you more than naive. They'll call you unloving or intolerant or judgmental. And if you go to a Christmas party this year and you start telling everyone that the real reason for the season is not presents or family or friends, but Golgotha and a bloody cross, you may not get an invite next year. We do face opposition because of our faith. And the people Peter was writing to, they knew all about opposition. In fact, that's really the reason Peter wrote this letter to them, to encourage them to stand firm in their faith, in the face of opposition, in the face of persecution. And he starts in our sermon text by reminding them of the victory that they've already won, by encouraging them to keep their eyes focused on what they know for certain, no matter what's going on around them. He tells them, Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous, Jesus, for the unrighteous, all of us, to bring you to God. The message of Jesus Christ crucified is the best motivation we can have to face opposition in our lives. Because we know that Jesus' suffering ended in what? In resurrection and glory, and that's what's going to happen with our suffering too. You know, imagine yourself out on a battlefield. I know some of you have served in the armed forces, but many of us have never seen a battlefield. But imagine you're on a battlefield and things are getting pretty bad, and there's fear and chaos all around, and there's bullets whizzing by your head. And imagine in the middle of that, if someone could come up to you and they could show you a vision of the future and show you how the battle would turn out, that everything would be okay, that you would get through it just fine. Don't you think that would change the way you fight? That's what Peter is doing here for these Christians he's writing to. He's telling them that Jesus' death has already won the victory, that his resurrection has assured us of that. We are reconciled to God. And this same Jesus who has died for us and has rose again, Peter goes on to say, also has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, that position of power, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Jesus has won. The victory is certain. And that means even though we still have to face little skirmishes here this side of heaven, we really do have nothing to fear. There's no reason to struggle through it. There's no reason to worry about any of it. There's no reason to get distracted. We are fully prepared for whatever comes our way. The trouble is, it doesn't always feel like that, does it? You know, we get distracted by the battle raging around us. We don't always feel prepared for what's coming next. We don't even feel prepared at times, I think, to meet Jesus. You know, you think about Christmas coming up and how easy it is for us to just fall in with many in America who get caught up in the busyness and the frenzy of this season. And unless we're sitting in a pew, maybe our hearts aren't fixed on the message of God's word, why Jesus came, to save sinners. That gets lost. But it's not just at Christmas that we find ourselves unprepared. I think it's all the time. How often have we come here on Sunday morning really unprepared to meet God in worship? We haven't prayed. We haven't examined ourselves before the Lord's Supper. We're just lucky if we get here on time. Or maybe at home we're struggling to open up a Bible for even a minute during the day, or a devotion, because we've got a million other things going on. And if we find ourselves so unprepared for Christmas and so unprepared to meet God in his word and sacrament, how on earth then do we think we're going to be prepared when Jesus comes again in glory and comes to judge? What is it that we're going to be able to point to so that he won't drop the hammer on us and we won't feel God's wrath? Well, Peter has an answer for that. He has an answer for those questions and those fears. And he answers them really with a very simple illustration and a promise from God to you. Peter says that the same Jesus who died and rose again, he goes on to say, went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, in the ark, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I said Peter used a simple illustration here, but admittedly, there is a lot to unpack in those verses. All Peter is really trying to do, though, is use the great flood as an illustration for what God does in baptism. Peter says that after Jesus rose from death, one of the first things we hear him doing is going and preaching to the spirits in prison, to those who are in hell. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that he went there to suffer? Does it mean he went there to preach a sermon and convert them? Well, no. We know he went there to proclaim his victory. And that's just another assurance for us that Jesus stands in victory over his enemies, and we do 2. And Peter uses that moment to talk a little bit about baptism by connecting it to those souls that ended up in hell because in the days of Noah, they disobeyed God. They rejected God. They wanted nothing to do with him. And it got so bad, you heard about it in our first lesson, that God put an end to this sinful world. If he hadn't intervened, everyone would have been lost in sin and unbelief. And so God stepped in. And in order to bring judgment on the world and salvation to the world, he sent the flood. You know, the flood certainly was judgment, but think too what happened when those floodwaters burst open from the deep and the rain started. That ark with God's chosen people was lifted safely above all the death and destruction. And that's what Peter is saying happens to all of us when we are baptized. In baptism, our sinful, unbelieving flesh is drowned, and God rescues and lifts out this redeemed child of God and keeps that one safe in his family. Baptism rescues you from death. It saves you. This is not simply a symbolic act that we do to remind us of God's saving work somewhere else. It actually saves you. And how can it do that? We sometimes hear Christians that don't like to say baptism saves. They say Jesus saved. Well, Peter says it saves because it connects you to Jesus' saving work, to his death, to his resurrection. And so when we are baptized, that sinful nature is drowned and put in the grave, and a new self is raised to life as one of God's holy children. And that changes things for us. Baptism gives us a new perspective. It means that when we think about being prepared for the things in this life, and especially being prepared to meet our Savior, we know that whether it's being ready for Christmas or his word and sacrament or the end of all things, baptism has made us ready. Because we are baptized children of God, we know that this is the reason for the season, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save you, to save me. And we don't get distracted by everything else. We take the quiet time to prepare for that during this time of year, remembering we are a part of God's family through baptism. And not just at Christmas, though, but all the time we remember this. Peter talked in those verses about baptism being this pledge of a good conscience towards God. Pledge, really, that word in Greek was a legal claim. You have a guarantee before God that your conscience is free from guilt and fear. And that means every day that you live in this world, you can come to God in his word, you can open it up and read the promises that are there and know those are for you. It means that you can go to the Lord's Supper and know that you are worthy, that you are worthy to receive Christ's body and blood because you are part of his family. You are forgiven. That pledge that God makes to you, that guarantee he gives you in baptism, assures you that when Jesus returns, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to wonder where you stand with him. You know. Baptism has made you a part of God's family, and so you are ready to meet your Maker. Brothers and sisters, at Christmas, in his word, in his supper, at the end of all things, you can know that you are ready to meet your coming Savior. Because God has prepared you. He has prepared you through baptism, which makes you ready for the coming of Christ. Amen.